I'm Jeremy Greer.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this is Days of Future Cast, the podcast where we talk about the X-Men, no matter what time, I almost said time zone.
Well, that is true. People are allowed to listen to this in whatever time zone they like.
Yeah, Cyclops, B, and CST. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. A Mountain Time, weirdos.
Yeah, everybody knows Beast is a Pacific Time guy. Like, you can just spell
Beast
it
is big time. Yeah, big time specific.
What
specific
if we time? Treated time zones like horoscope, like zodiac signs? Like, you were showing real signs of the Greenwich middle, you know, central time or whatever.
That makes more sense than horoscope. Like, people, where people live might influence how they act more than nothing.
More than, you know, planets.
Planets and when they were born. Like, that makes more sense. I think that makes sense to me. Pacific time zone is like a West Coast. Like, that's an ideology or like a posture, I guess. Yeah.
I'm with it.
I like it. You just discovered astrology for men.
Astrology for Gary is what it sounds like.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. For this man.
Astrology for men is just basically like doing...
Myers-Briggs.
Yeah, Myers. I was going to say fantasy football, but it's pretty much the same thing nowadays as Myers-Briggs. Yeah. So,
big no thanks for me.
We are back, and we're here for the last two episodes of the X-Men. We're only recording one episode. Jesus Christ, podcast seems so weird. This is only one episode. We're recording two episodes today. I don't know why this is so difficult for me to talk about, but we are back talking about part two of Tolerance is Extinction, which is the ninth episode of the first season of X-Men 97, aired on May 8th, 2024. The X-Men work to settle the score before it is too late. That's it. That's all we get.
I think that happens. Sure.
Yeah. You know? Settling some scores.
Scores get settled, I suppose. Mm-hmm. This is like the big fight episode before the big messy next episode.
It is.
Both these episodes are real good. This is the first time I'd watched it since it came out, and I've forgotten exactly where the series ends, which is interesting. I want more X-Men 97 because it's really good. I hope season two is still good.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I got a lot of hope, but I'm not 100% convinced.
They've set themselves up for either a great starting point or just a cliff to fall off of.
Yes.
Because the end of this season is such a like teaser of so much that could happen. And it's one of those things where it's real easy to get into your imagination and think about all of the cool shit they could do. And then when it comes out, like, they could just be like, oh no, we're going to reunite the team in one episode and then do, then it's back to the Shi'ar, right? Like,
yeah,
it's time to go fight the aliens. I mean, the Xenomorphs. I mean,
some more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The brood, the season long brood saga.
Yes.
Yes. And we forgot to mention, this is directed by, Emi Yanamura, written by Anthony Sillett, Ashley Alvarez, and Mariah Wilson.
Previously on the X-Men, Xavier was thought to be dead by most of the United States, and he left, or most of the world, not just the United States.
Yeah, it's a big, well-kept secret in Europe. We know that the Xavier is here. Yeah.
Through an incredibly hardback-bound book, he willed the X-Men to Magneto. I don't want to forget that hardbound will that he had.
That he had it printed?
Yes.
Yeah, the guy at Kinko's had to be like, sir!
Sir, I don't think this is appropriate.
Here's your will. I don't think it's binding.
Except Bastion has now revealed to the world that Xavier's actually alive in space, marrying space birds so that he can come back and, in theory, take over Earth. Bastion is a human sentinel who has also turned millions of humans into sentinels. And to combat this, Magneto flew to Antarctica, or Arctica, what's the top one?
The Antarctic or the Arctic.
Arctic, yeah, there we go. And turned off the world's electricity, did a massive EMB bomb. And that kind of resulted in Xavier's spaceship crashing into the mansion. And that sets us up for where we are now.
He's back. Going to these last two episodes, last episode you and I talked, I was very impressed by this idea that Bastion was taking advantage of Xavier's Shi'ar ties as like a propaganda thing.
Yes.
I forgot they completely dropped that.
Yeah.
That's not a thing anymore.
No, not at all. Like, but, and I think it's because like they focus so much on the it was interesting for a second there where Bastion was like, I'm going to position the world against the X-Men, right? This is going to be like a propaganda campaign. And then we drop pretty much all pretense of that, and it's just a fight against the X-Men. Like, it seems like for all of his talk about like Mr. Sinister's model as being the one to not follow, right? He went right back into that same thing. So
he falls back into it. Like, these last two episodes, actually, I feel like are really cool individual things happen in them. Really fun action, all of that stuff. I do think that they are a little bit like on second watch, they didn't land quite as fucking dead center as they did before. Like, still good.
I think they are classic X-Men for, all of the good and the bad that is, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that kind of sums it up. And it's pure fucking X-Men. And if you can still get high on that, then, like, fucking excellent. Your first ecstasy tab is one of the best ecstasy tabs you'll ever get. It is the best ecstasy tab you'll ever take.
And then it'll never get this good again.
Yeah, pretty much. And this is like a really, really, like, this is close. This is really good. Yeah. But it's also not, like, it's also a lot of the stuff that we have seen in X-Men stories before, which is, you know, how it works. Like, that's how X-Men stories be doing.
Yeah. So. Little cyclical. The reason why I think that feels a little bit odd is just because the rest of the series felt like it was maybe nodding towards some new stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, nothing new in the intro for this one. I also noticed that Xavier wakes up in the mansion. He's in his normal wheelchair in the morning. He's at some point he's going to go look at his super wheelchair very sadly here.
And we're going to kind of go around and check on everybody. So Magneto is on the edge of some cliffs looking like a villain as like a bunch of stalled out ships in the ocean are around him. Like he's like all of the Navy ships, basically. Bastion is carrying his dead mother and like super upset about it. And I'm like, you turned her into a Sentinel? I don't know what you
expected. Did turn her into a Sentinel, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure.
This could have happened with a normal EMP.
Yeah.
Cable has grenades that would do this to your mom. Like if you degauss a monitor near her, this would happen.
Yeah, she just had a pacemaker. Like,
yeah.
Magneto, we see Roberto and Jubilee kind of cornered in an alley. This Xavier does see his broken hovering wheelchair, which is kind of sad. And then Magneto lifts a bunch of rocks up out of the ocean. He's doing something weird, and we don't quite know what yet. Storm and Forge, who we haven't seen in a couple of episodes, appear to save Jubilee and Roberto from the Human Sentinels. And then Magneto, just high on life and full of power, lifts Asteroid M from the bottom of the ocean. This is baller as hell. I love this.
Well, it takes us continent over from where he's at to go float in front of. I didn't take this as Asteroid M because it has all the machinery on it when they actually go up to Asteroid M.
Oh.
I just thought this was part of where he was at.
Oh, for some reason, I had, like, in the past, Asteroid M had crashed in the ocean, and this was him, like, getting it out of there. And it does not. Yeah, I'm not willing to go to the mat with you on this at all. So I don't care.
I'm not willing to go to the mat either. Like, I know this is not Landbridge 2. I don't remember.
I don't even remember what side of the Landbridge argument I was on now that you say that.
Oh, I do.
Oh, Jesus.
Bastion lays his mother down and says, you know, looks at his painting that he has of the Sentinel Apocalypse. Yeah. One of the things I like when Forge and Storm come and save Jubilee is Forge uses his rocket leg.
Yes.
To hover down. He doesn't use that very often. Nice reunion for everybody until we eventually come back in on Xavier. And like one of the things about this episode is I think that Scott's a little too harsh on Xavier. I think these episodes are a little too mean to Xavier. I know I'm an Xavier defender on the podcast for some reason. A lot of the things aren't his fault that Scott's blaming him for. Scott says, hey, I can't believe you decided to leave the team and leave them to Magneto. And she says, like, I wanted to, you would just stay in the X-Men forever.
Yeah. If I was here, you would keep following me. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd always follow me. What if I wanted you to have a life. And like Scott says, that should have been his choice. And that's true. But also it's not the worst thing in the world for a father figure to do, mm-hmm. you know, to be like, I don't want you to have to be a soldier. You know, and if this will let you, you know, live a life and have a family, like this is what I felt like I needed to do. It's a mistake, but it's not the end of the world. It's not evil.
And Xavier even says like he feared this, right? That Cyclops would help build Xavier's dream, like build this world where, you know, humanity finally accepts mutants for who they are, but then never let himself enjoy
You'll never actually get to the fruits of what you've been doing since you were a teenager.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? And he says, I just like you, I'm right back here. Like I did, it may be a mistake, but I came back, mm-hmm. you know, and he extends his hand and Cyclops just ignores it. Like again, very harsh. I understand he's hurting, here. Rue wakes up finally, from her bastion-induced coma, saying Gambit. That's sad. You know, when sometimes people pass and you dream and they're still around,
mm-hmm.
you wake up, that's real sad.
Storm and Roberto and Rogue and Jubilee all arrive at the mansion. Jean is, of course, overjoyed at seeing her sister, Beast and Forge, bond as they always do. And for whatever reason, felt like they were very much flirting with each other this time around.
It's only because he touches his leg. He's like, oh, you know, your leg. Yeah, he's like, your leg is working. And he's like, I have an electromagnetic shield. How'd you do that? Thought about it. It's a little like cute.
It's a little
cute. One of the things I like about the Storm and Jean relationship in this, and it's a thing that X-Men 97 does a lot, is taking in characterization from the comics, right? Like Storm and Jean being very close is something from Chris Claremont comics in the 70s and 80s. In the old cartoon, they weren't that close.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they would call each other sister.
No, that's how it feels very fresh. And I think like when we were talking about earlier about like how this series kind of seemed like it was going in some new places, like it felt like it was taking like pieces of those comic books, of those comic series, and putting them together in interesting ways, right? And this was one of them.
Yeah.
Like, Storm and Jean's relationship, we saw a little bit of it at the beginning of the season, and now we see a little bit more here. But it's not something that's been like front and center, but I really like it. Like it shows like,
I do too.
It shows a dynamic within the team that I think would actually exist, right? Like them being bonded like that.
Well, it's also Jean and Storm to me, like since I grew up reading the comics mm-hmm. where they were really close, you know, everyone having kind of a little bit of distance in the cartoon was not accurate. This yeah. feels like a crux.
Jean says everybody's headed to Muir Island and that the mm-hmm. the entire, you know, Earth's infrastructure is dead, basically, and is in ruins. Storm mentions that she can feel the magnetic field of the entire world dying. And says when the sun sets tonight, it sets on the future. Like if they don't reverse this, it's not just like nobody has power, but like the world is going to be torn apart. Like if you're, you know, it's going to be Thanos's home planet from Avengers Endgame or whatever.
Yeah, it's gonna fucking suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the team says we need to find Magneto and have him reverse the damage he's done for yep. this. Xavier says, you know, this isn't Magneto's fault, but actually my own. And I like how Scott ignores that because he is trying to make this shit about him.
Yeah.
this part was Magneto's fault.
Yeah. Magneto's pretty specifically did this. Like I know it's going to be interesting, like having the X-Men try to draw a straight line from Xavier leaving to Genosha happening. But like at a certain point, Magneto flew up to the Arctica and did this himself.
He Arctic'd it up.
I'm just going to call it the Arctica from now on. Cause I like doing it. So.
And he did it for a reason. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, it's not for nothing. He's just stopping the Super Sentinels. But like, again, these last couple episodes where they feel a little bit odd to me, like Magneto also wouldn't want to destroy all life on the planet. At one point he says like evolution thrives in darkness. And I'm like, come on, man. Scott divides up the team. There's a blue team and gold team. The yes. blue team is going to go take care of Magneto, go find Magneto. The gold team is going to go fight Bastion.
Yep.
Here.
And Xavier is starting to wonder, like, you know, can we reverse the things that Bastion has done to these humans? Beast is like, sure, absolutely. And Roberto's like, hey, they already hated us. Like, if we free them for this, what's it going to do? Like, they're just going to keep hating us. And Jubilee, of course, is like, it sounds like another day that ends with Y. Like,
yeah, we're always doing this shit.
Yeah, we're just going to face it as we always do as a family. Kind of driving yep. this.
I think Storm says that.
Yeah. Driving this found family point home quite a bit.
Yep. Beast says, hey, the Sentinels are controlled by a command server. And Xavier says, Bastion is the prime server.
Thanks. Thanks, Xavier.
Thanks, Xavier.
Xavier hiding his yellow covered copy of Bastion for Dummies behind his chair.
This is where he reveals he knew Bastion. Yes. Cerebro picked him up as a child. It assumed he was a mutant. But his mother refused. As soon as she heard the word mutant, she shut the door.
Yes.
So he thinks that Magneto will see reason. He'll turn on the lights for everything. And this is still something we could talk about.
Yeah. And know? When he proposes this to the team, Roberto chimes in like, didn't you also think it was a good idea to give the bad guy your entire school? And I just thank you, Roberto.
Yes. But also so much of like this series the season so far has been Magneto is right shit.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like it was kind of a good idea. Like, that's where I kind of what I mean these last couple episodes. Like, was it or was it not? Is Magneto just like an absolute psychopath or is he kind of right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's playing a little bit of both. Like, yeah, Roberto, but also that didn't cause any of this shit. You know, Magneto did this because of Genosha, which is because of this, you know, because of Sinister and Bastion. Yeah. Like, that would have happened regardless of whether, if I was in front of the school, would I have stopped Genosha? you know, no. So they had 12 hours. Yes. It's time to get to work. Forge and Beast start working on a neuronic scrambler, something that they can put on Bastion and shut off all his control over the Sentinels. And they might actually be able to permanently disable his powers here, but Storm does a lightning strike and says, don't do that. Again, a little bit weird. Like, I understand why she would not want someone to have their powers taken away.
Mm-hmm. But also, he's not a mutant.
He's trying to fucking kill everybody. You know, he doesn't need these superpowers. Like, again, it feels a little bit strange to me. Like, I understand her feeling that way.
Yeah.
Bastion.
Yeah, having this technology in the world is a bad thing. And, like, she doesn't want to release it. But also, like, it's Forge and Beast. Actually, I take that back. It's Forge and Beast. Maybe they shouldn't have this technology.
With everything that happens with Beast in the future.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. I would have been like, no, we can do this to Bastion. We get one.
Yeah, you can make one of these. Xavier meets up with Rogue, who is kind of standing beside the water. And she's wondering if Gambit should have been buried on the school grounds. I didn't realize, thinking back to the graveside, like, they did actually show elevated graves. So I guess he was buried down to Bayou. But Rogue says Gambit was the most Cajun man she's ever known. And I'm like, what does that mean, girl? Like, what is that?
Of course he was.
Yeah. Like, how many Cajuns
guys do you know?
How many Cajuns do you know that talk like that? Like, most people from Louisiana do not talk like that, Cher. Like, it just doesn't happen.
You live in New York. Like, of course it's the most Cajun man you know. It's the most Cajun man everybody in the Marvel Universe knows. He's the only Cajun man they know.
And she again kind of copies Scott and laying a lot of this blame on Xavier's feet, saying, you know, what would have happened if he had treated them as people, instead seeing them as people instead of just students and soldiers. This triggers Xavier to kind of apologize about everything. In kind of classic X-Men 97 fashion, this relatively, like, interesting philosophical conversation is going to get interrupted, but with some villain shit, because Magneto brings down his giant asteroid from the sky with some fucking dope ass music going down.
I like that this happened, so we're not going to get the search for Magneto.
Yes.
Like, we just want to see him talk, you know. It's also, we're bringing in a different storyline. Like, X-Men 97 is kind of all the storylines of the 90s.
Yes.
In a weird way, this is shadowing the scene in the beginning of Fatal Attraction when he comes down and offers refuge to the X-Men.
Xavier immediately says, hey, I don't want you to bring violence here. And Magneto's like, homie, you're dead. This is my house. Own. Yeah. Why don't you go back to space and play with your Shi'ar bird girl? And he says, like, you know, I've walked your path. Are you prepared to walk mine? Telling Xavier, like, hey, I've tried out your method. Fully invested. I gave myself up to the human authorities, and they shot and took away the powers of one of your students and one of your soldiers, one of your team. And, you know, are you prepared to now follow me with and do what needs to be done?
Yes.
And of course,
kill all life on Earth.
Yeah. And Xavier is like, no. My dream can still happen. Like, you just need to reverse everything that you've done. And Magneto points out that, you know, Genosha was Xavier's dream. But all of that failed. And I mean, this line is pretty fucking hardcore. Like, I promised a boy a world without fear, only to watch his tiny eyes vaporize in his skull, only because he believed in me. He believed in the dream that you had me sell. I think this kind of gets directly to your point of, like, is Xavier the bad guy in all this? And it feels like they're kind of trying to pin a lot of this on Xavier, but, like, the alternative, I think, and I don't want to get into, like, a real world, like, are the Democrats too liberal kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, more women guards at the prisons or anything. I don't want to get into any of that bullshit. But, like, at the same time, like, would you have turned Morph into a soldier to kill humans? Like, what's the alternative is you as Magneto literally, like, stealing nuclear missiles and writing your name in the sky in cursive. So, like,
that's the thing. It that kid didn't die because Magneto followed Xavier's dream.
Yeah.
Like, he says this, it sounds great, the line goes really hard, but it's not true. You know, the kid died because Bastion. You know, like, the idea that Bastion came to be because of permissiveness from the government is not something that's very underlined in this. There's, like, a little bit of that with him working with Val Cooper, but he's far beyond that. And in these last couple episodes, he just turns into, like, a supervillain.
Yes.
He literally gets like new supervillain wings and shit. He gets all one winged angel, becomes punished Bastion, gets a longer goatee.
Longer
soul patch.
He goes through a magical girl transformation, Gary. Let's call it what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. When your soul patch gets really huge as a magical girl. Mm-hmm.
It happened to the lead singer Candlebox.
I like this as the idea. Magneto is blaming Xavier for this, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't think he's right about it. I think that he is, doesn't know what to do with these emotions. You know, like seeing this kid's eyes vaporize in the skull is so fucking much. You know, this has to be somebody's fault. It's because he believed in me in that dream you had me sell. This is our fault. And like, I don't really think it is.
That point there where like the emotional stake that he had in Genosha and what he saw there is exactly what we get when he offers like the opportunity for the team to come over to his side. This is why Ro goes over. Like she was there. Like the things she saw, she can't unsee. So she says like, I have to, you know, I know the cost of your dream. I refuse to watch any more mutants die. And like, that only makes sense if you weren't going with Magneto, who literally just turned off the Earth.
Turned off the Earth. Yeah,
like humans and mutants alike. Like you're leaving to go on the spaceship, but you're leaving all of your mutant friends behind. Like, what do you like? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It didn't need the stakes of the world ending in 12 hours. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that Magneto went so far as to destroy life on Earth, you know, with one little throwaway line about how evolution thrives in darkness, is silly.
Yes.
Like that is too much. If the idea is that Bastion and Magneto and Professor X are all supposed to be different kind of philosophical poles that we see in tension between this, they've overplayed their hand with Magneto.
Yeah.
In this.
And look, this is classic X-Men stuff too, by the way. Like, I mean, there is no universe where I hate this at all. It's just the very basic like X-Men argument that we've seen kind of played out in comic books. And I was kind of hoping that they would go somewhere else with it.
Yeah. It's slightly less elevated than the rest of the series. Mm-hmm. Would be, you know, Rogue goes over this, you know, taking Colossus's place from the Fatal Attractions comic. Roberto goes over, you know, says, hey, like, what's left for me? My mom collared me. What's left here? And Jubilee says, me.
Yeah.
You know, sad. And Magneto floats away.
Yep. We skip over to Muir Island, where Cable is cleaning his guns in glass cases and whatever little lab/hangar they're in. We see like the old classic X-Men outfits. Very much mm-hmm. love that. Very, very cool.
They're going to change into them.
Yeah.
Like it's just for us.
There's no reason
for the characters to do it. They just do it for you and me.
I was so excited, man. Like I am a fan and I love to be serviced. Let me tell you.
I love the old Cyclops outfit. I've never been real into Jean Grey's like weird headdress thing. What do you call that? The half mask with the spikes?
It's a Mardi Gras mask to me, but like I don't know what a white girl from the North calls it.
Jeremy, you are the most Cajun man I know.
Shit. Cyclops comes in, and him and Cable talk about Jean and Madeline, and he tells Cable that he needs to trust Jean. And as he goes to give advice to Cable, Cable interrupts him and says, let me guess, be careful. And Cyclops says, no, you give him hell. And there's an interesting little reversal of something where he hands Cable an X-Men uniform and Cable acts kind of surprised. And he says, what did you expect? Black leather, which is obviously a reference to the first X-Men movie where Wolverine gets a uniform. Is like, what did you expect? Yellow spandex, which was a kind of a reaction to the comic book characters, all having ridiculous outfits and then making them very cool for the early aughts. Just a weird, like reference to a reference, that actually lands pretty well here. I kind of like this.
Well, so. It's saying the opposite, like that's no longer in style now.
Yeah.
Like this shit, these big color outfits are what we want now. That was dumb.
And I got to say,
everyone looked like the Matrix.
In a lot of the MCU projects nowadays, the characters seem almost embarrassed to be seen in their old outfits or in their like comic book outfits. There's a lot of like self-deprecation that comes with that. And I just, it's a trend in the MCU that I do not like. And since this is technically the MCU, like I kind of enjoyed them being like, no, we're just going to wear the fucking X outfits that we love. So.
Yeah, we all want the big fun outfits.
Yeah.
They just don't do it very often.
Mm-hmm. It does look ridiculous in live action. I get why they don't do it. But like also,
it all looks ridiculous though. It's not like the Falcon's non-comic book outfit doesn't look ridiculous.
Exactly.
Like ridiculous is part of the cost of admission here.
He's in a movie with a red Hulk with Harrison Ford's face. Like, what are we like? Yeah. Who cares if he doesn't have a red and white or, you know, stripes on his? I don't know. Anyway, yeah. I still haven't seen that movie. Ford
Hulk so. Nipples. I got a plane ride coming up.
Uh-huh.
Oh man, that seems like a good time for Brave New World.
Yeah,
I think it's a real plane movie.
I wonder if that'll be out when I because. I'm flying to Boston and me and Autumn are supposed to go together, but it turns out she has a work trip before and after the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So now like I'm flying from Louisiana to meet my wife in Boston. And then she's leaving from Boston to go to like New York and I'm going back home to Louisiana. So I'll need some entertainment on that flight.
Seems like Brave New World's the way to be.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Xavier's meeting with the President of the United States, psychically. And he wants to activate the Magneto protocols. In this, the Magneto protocols are so funny. Like, what if we shot missiles at him?
So good.
Like, there's a whole folder. People talk about it like it's really intense, and the plan is to shoot missiles.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting the Magneto protocols to be Bastion. Just like we're going to activate the human sentinels, right? Like, but no.
Oh shit. Yeah, it already happened. Xavier says, you know, trust us. You know, trust me. I can talk him down. And the president says, there's no more trust left. You know, it's your fault that Magneto is doing what he's doing because you left. Again, I don't think that's true. Magneto would have done it anyway. So Xavier gives a speech, you know, asking for help, and the team gets ready there. We cut, you know, there's another montage. Beast is saying beside Trish Tilby, mm-hmm. Her bed, as she's a sentinel that's been knocked out. Jubilee burned Roberto's card.
It's very funny. It's very like teen angst. I love it.
It's great. And just, if you don't trust me, trust my X-Men to take care of this.
And then, you know, Black and Gold team split up. Jean and Psyche get one last hug in before it's time to roll. And then we cut over to Bastion, who is now linked up to all of these purple and pink wires, drenched in some sort of like computer magma thing.
He's got energy beams now.
Yeah.
Bastion's powers during this episode and the next episode are anything.
Pretty much, yeah.
He just shoots beams now, like everyone.
It kind of reminds me of I just blanked on the villain from Zelda. Jesus Christ, his name's not Thanos.
Ganon.
You know how like in like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, like Ganon just like has weird powers all of a sudden? Like,
yeah.
Like it kind of reminds me of that too, where you're like, oh, like now he's got like weird techno stuff happening. And I'm like, why is Ganon like purple and like shooting beams?
Yeah,
why
he's got magenta clouds around him?
Yeah.
Well, it's just the end of the game.
Yeah.
And he's got magenta clouds.
And it's fine. Like, I don't really care. But like at the same time, like it's Bastion having this like weird off-screen upgrade is kind of strange.
It's weird. Like, again, it's classic X-Men shit, but the previous Bastion, who was a techno, you know, is a technopath. That's what he's supposed to do. He deals with machines and stuff. He was being more insidious,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was cool. Like he was kind of using Sinister as muscle, to do this genetic shit and everything. And he was talking to machines. He wasn't just Superman.
Yeah.
Which he becomes over the course of these two episodes. I blame anime, for that, even though X-Men does that kind of shit. But just everything having to turn into two Supermen fighting and flying through the air.
And if you would like to write in a complaint about Gary's constant anime hate, it's was it like Will Hughes or Plumber Duck. Blue Sky.
You can at me with that shit. I'm fucking. Why are you booing me? In this case, I'm right. So the team splits up. Cyclops gets in a hug. It's time to roll. Yep. Bastion's there. He pulls up all of his sentinels. Here, classic Sentinels, yes. Not the Super Sentinels.
And he's controlling them directly, which is why they work, right? Like, he's powering them using his own powers.
At one point, Beast says, like, his database is powering them or something. He says, mutants surrender to the future.
My SQLite will take care of this mutant problem.
I've got a tap light that will take care of the mutant issue once and for all. So the Sentinels go after the X-Jet.
Yep.
You know, and Bastion's controlling them directly. And Storm says, listen, me and Forge are going to take care of the air attacks. The rest of the team goes on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Jean protests, like, don't do this. And Storm says, no. You know, listen, I have, this is what I was born to do. I thought of you while I was away. You know, you're a survivor. I thought about the Phoenix. You know, this is what we do. Let us do what we do, not in a dream, but in our gifts. Mm-hmm. Believe in our, not in a dream, but in our gifts and in each other.
And then they have this exchange, which I don't think is from the comics, and it's just great, where mm-hmm. Storm says, Jean says, make them mind your weather, sister. And Storm responds, and let them weather your mind. Great little wordplay for two characters. Like, I kind of wanted to, I didn't have enough time, but I kind of wanted to like brainstorm some Cyclops and Wolverine version of this. Let them claw your eyes, brother, and let them eyes your claws.
Let them eye your claws. Yeah. So Jean floats the rest of the team down. Storm starts summoning like big, huge weather effects. She's definitely got her groove back. Yes. You know, lightning and tornadoes and stuff. Beast tracks the source of this control frequency to the volcano.
Of course it is. Why do we, like, there's a volcano on the island. Why didn't we start here? Like, it's the volcano.
It is very hospitable. That is the place to do a base.
Yeah.
They move through the woods and we see this really cool thing. There's a town here and they say Bastion's recreating a town through this. Like, he's making his hometown on this island.
I really like the implication of this, but it's not really explored, unfortunately.
No, it's a cool idea though. Like this idea of sentimental Bastion, which again, it's, I guess what all these like things I'm saying about these last couple episodes, they're a little rushed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like this maybe could have been four episodes, the finale of this. So they have to fight the Sentinels though. The Sentinels show up and we have to fight.
Yep.
We get more of whether it's clear if Morph takes on the powers of stuff he does. It's real cool. He turns into the Hulk and smashes through the chest of a Sentinel.
Morph. So Bo DiBio on Twitter said that Morph gets the powers if they are physical powers, which makes about as much sense as anything in the X-Men makes. So in this case, you know, when they adopt Hulk's persona, they get Hulk strength, but they wouldn't be able to turn into Wanda Maximoff and do No More Mutants, right? Like, but also that kind of feels like back of the trading card bullshit, which I don't really care about. Morph saying Morph Smash is amazing though.
That's great.
That's what I am here for. So
it's real fun. Mm-hmm. And the X-Men fight the Sentinels. They each get to do something. For this, Beast is doing a lot of bad one-liners. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you a hand. What's the sound of one hand clapping? I love that he did a draft.
Yes.
Like, I love that he included the first draft and then included the punch up. They did.
Cable really gets good. Shot. Mm-hmm. Mr. Sinister shows up and starts going after Jean. Mr. Sinister has never had powers this cool. It's kind of similar to Bastion. Normally when Mr. Sinister shows up, like, nobody can figure out what his mutant power is because he's, you know, spliced so much of his DNA with mutant DNA. Here it just looks like kind of anime style. Like, I can
zoom slide
around. Yeah,
he can turn into shadows. Mm-hmm. He can shoot beams. He can do everything.
I can run up your blade if I sidestep it and it goes into the ground and punch you in the face. You know what I'm saying?
Very much. He's doing Mercury counters and shit. Like,
my mutant power hours Mercury counters.
He Mercury counters Cyclops' blast.
but only on the Xbox One. I cannot do it on the PS5.
Exactly. You have to have the frame rate at 30 frames per second because otherwise you can't do it.
That's good. So eventually,
he's fighting Jean. They're talking back and forth about this. And he blasts her through a wall and he's trying to get into her head.
Yes.
You know, if you're nice, I might tell you where you made the switch. I'll let you know where you end and Madeline begins. And she says, it doesn't matter. Madeline fights with me today.
Yeah.
You know, she punches him.
Hard.
He punches the shit out of him.
Yeah. Yep. Go Jean.
It's real good.
We switch to the view of an astronaut in space who is watching the Blackbird fly to Magneto's space base. Rogue is wearing her 70s outfit now, which... Mm-hmm. I've never actually liked until I saw it here in motion. I don't remember if we saw this in the original X-Men cartoon. I don't think we did. But I really, really dug it seeing it in motion. I liked it a lot.
Again, this is literally just for us.
I know. No, there's like, no reason for this, for her to have changed outfits.
No. Yeah. They also, I'd like to, I mean, I'm not trying to be too much of a stickler. I don't care that much about this. Mm-hmm. The X-Men can breathe in space now.
Yeah, of course.
They just do.
Yeah.
There's a Jubilee gets blasted off an airlock or something and Sunspot saves her next one. She's fine.
They're in atmosphere. What I'm saying? It's not cold out there, so don't worry about it.
It's all fine. Yeah. It's the X-Men just got to take care of. Their old outfits have the space breathing trait.
Did you watch the Black Widow movie and see her fall out of a window like for four stories, hit like a metal thing and then like flop on the concrete ground below and then get up and run away? And like, that's...
Yeah.
You're not fucking... You don't have the super serum. Like, what are we... Okay, sure, whatever. I don't
Silly.
Care.
Yeah. I sound like a fucking goon when I bring up that shit, but the reason why it's frustrating is because it's inconsistent.
Yes.
And it's cool when they don't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking about Winter Soldier and how cool it is that like when Black Widow has to fight Winter Soldier who has super serum and a super arm, she can basically just kind of delay him, you know, and kind of like dazzle him.
Yeah.
Like she can't just like fight him though. And then now she's indestructible.
And that's what's cool about that fight is like she has to pull out like tricksy stuff, right? Like she has to distract him. Like she can't be just 1v1 him. She has to like do all of this stuff to distract him or trip him up or do this stuff.
She's a spy.
And that's what's cool about that character. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. You know, you run into this when everyone can do everything. That's honestly the thing about big anime action that bugs me is like everybody can do everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You don't get that kind of like characterization or those clever problem solving. You know, which is why I like watching powers get used. I think it's cool. People do clever applications.
Chris was telling me about an anime recently, and I don't remember the name of it, but he was telling me, you know, there was this huge arc for the main character to become, like, all of a sudden now he has the ability to fly, right? Like, and that was a huge thing for, like, they built his, like, character into this idea of him being able to fly, and it was, like, a big deal. And then, like, before long, every single character could fly. And everybody was just flying around all over the place, and it kind of, you know, obviously took away some of that. And then he was like, "I'm pretty sure they just didn't want to draw backgrounds anymore. Like they just wanted to have the fights in the sky, so like the villain gets to fly." And I was like, "Oh, well, that makes a lot more sense." So now I get it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's because of labor conditions.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So the plane lands here, and Rogue and Roberto go for the plane, you know, thinking it landed to fight off the X-Men, but Nightcrawler already teleported them past into Magneto's chamber.
Wolverine attacks first, dodging a bunch of projectiles and going directly for Magneto, but Rogue doubles back, picks him up, and like gets him out of the fight. And as the rest of the team attack, Xavier does his normal thing of like, "Please, Magneto, stop." We get this fight between Roberto and Jubilee where he like blasts her and then is like immediately sorry. He's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." But she's not having it. Like she starts fighting back too and starts blasting him back.
I like that bit of him just immediately, sorry.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, what I would do as well.
100%. Yeah. Like he's already rewriting this decision. Xavier continues talking, and it's just, you know, for all your talk of ruling the world, the world rules you, like basically saying like, you know, hey, you're still like bound to this world just as we are. And Magneto has this moment, and it was weird seeing the reaction to this moment on social media. Like it was, especially TikTok had a bunch of people like really celebrating this moment of like, "Oh, how I've waited to say these words to you, old friend, shut up." And he clamps a metal piece over Xavier's mouth. I guess I see why this line is good, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It seems so like kind of base to me. I saw a bunch of people be like, "This is the hardest fucking line, the hardest Magneto's ever been." And I'm just like, okay, if you say so, like, I don't get it, but sure.
Yeah. Magneto's been harder, you know? And also like, it's a nice, like mic drop kind of feeling thing I had engineered for fist pumps as a bit. And I understand like, Xavier is right in this thing, but it doesn't mean he's not annoying.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, Magneto, you shouldn't shut off the world for this stuff, but him doing these little clever wordplay stuff, like, it is obnoxious.
Yes.
You know, I did defend Xavier. I don't like him. I wouldn't want to hang out with him. I just think he's right about some stuff.
Yeah. I kind of want him to molest me. Is that safe to say? Am I in a safe space to say that?
Exceedingly safe. This is the best place to say that. Brother? You let us know whoever you want to molest you.
Archiveofourown.com / Days of Future Past /
That's what the Xavier is in the Boys. The XB of the X-Men is just a child molester because that's Garth Ennis's sense of humor.
I think they did that in the show one season.
Yeah, I think it's Generation V. I think it's the spinoff is the X-Men Academy. I haven't watched that yet, but
that's kind of such a weird thing because they're reuniting the Supernatural Brothers in that show, and I just can't, dude. I just can't. Everyone's like, "Are you and Chris going to cover the Boys?" I'm like, what would you possibly say about that show on a podcast? Like, and then he took his dick out.
Yeah,
I don't.
Dicks.
Yeah. And then there's a tentacle dick, and then somebody blows up. Like, there's not a lot of like meaning or value in that show that you can pull out of it. Like, and this is coming from someone who podcasted about Supernatural for like 7 years of his life. So
it gets to things like that, but it gets it so fucking slow. You know, there's political things in that show, but it takes a whole season to make the point it does. That show is on my chopping block of I'm not watching anything until it's done anymore.
I don't blame you.
Like, I got frustrated. Like, it was forever before the last season. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched it, got caught up, and then I was like, well, now I've forgotten fucking everything. No thanks. Xavier tells Cyclops, we got to get Magneto's helmet off. And yes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pilot Magneto and make him fix the Earth.
Yes.
You know, and we don't know if we have, what about Bastion Super Sentinels? You know, we just have to trust Gold Team to take care of that. You know, that's going to turn out to be, yeah, they're not going to be able to.
Back on Earth, Sinister stumbles in, having been beaten up by Jean Grey, telling Bastion that they must retreat. But Bastion sees through this, because this is actually just Morph carrying the neutralizer. Beast shows up almost immediately afterwards, grabs the neutralizer, tries to get it onto Bastion, but he's quickly captured, and Bastion gets the collar and to destroy it. We check in on Forge and Storm, who are fighting Sentinels in the sky. The plane gets blasted, so Forge goes down one direction, and Storm also gets blasted and falls into the water. Down on the shore, Sinister, who is not Morph, catches Jean Grey by surprise and blasts her over the water. And she throws up a shield, like a telekinetic shield, but Sinister has now mind-controlled Cable off-screen. Cable is just trying to kill her, unleashing all of his power, like, at her shield.
With his guns at first, then reveals that he has telekinetics as well.
Yeah.
You know, my mother was a world-class telekinetic. That doesn't skip a generation. You know, this is bad. This is our end of second act. Like, things are very bad.
Well, and I just... Yeah. Did I miss a thing about Sinister having mind control powers? Do we care? Or is it just one of those things of that's Sinister for you?
So he did it with Morph before, but it was implied to be like through a series of abuse, and Morph could like fight it and stuff. Now he's just like, bam, you got a triangle on your head, or you got a diamond on your head. That's it for you.
Yeah.
I don't know when he did it. Like, the blocking is weird. It's there so Jean would have to fight Cable.
Which is
kind of her son.
Yeah, yeah. And I get that. I don't know.
I know you get that. My point being is that I think it's outcome first. Like, it's not something that happens organically. I think they needed to make this moment. And they're just like, let's make this happen for it. Like, why wouldn't you have done that in the first place?
You know? As she's being blasted, holding off all of these force blasts, she screams telepathically through her link with Scott, bringing Scott into the scene. So now he's seen what's going on. And so, you know, of course, she says, Scott, I love you.
It's very bleak.
Wolverine manages to grab Magneto, but is thrown off pretty quickly. But Magneto's helmet gets torn off in the process. So now Xavier forcefully takes control and is about to take over Magneto's brain when he gets blasted by none other but Cyclops. He was like, "Hey, we need to give the Gold Team more time. Before we finish this up here, we need to give them more time." Yeah.
This is a tactical mistake. You know, Xavier didn't need to use Magneto to pilot the Earth back, because that would have brought back the Sentinels. He could have like made him go to sleep, though.
Yeah.
You know, and because he doesn't, Magneto starts really fucking with everybody. Like, you know, blasts everyone against the wall, takes everybody, puts them against the wall, puts his helmet on Xavier's head. I always love it when that happens, like, works the other way. Mm-hmm. And says he's a traitor to his race. Mm-hmm. Race traitor is not a cool thing to say. And then Wolverine stabs him, like gives him, you know, a real good stab from behind.
Yeah.
But Magneto doesn't die here, and we do Fatal Attractions.
Yeah.
He pulls all the metal out of Wolverine's body.
Fuck yeah, dude. This happens in a series of still shots, and I think it's all the more effective because of that. This looks incredibly horrible and painful, just like it did in Fatal Attraction, just like it does in the comics, and it's so cool looking.
It's also part of like how this is every fucking storyline in the 90s,
right?
Like,
take the best bits.
it's Operation Zero Tolerance, Fatal Attractions, Onslaught, Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, like all kind of stuck together, you know?
So good.
Yeah. This is a great shocking moment here. Wolverine's gonna be out of commission now, kind of, for the rest of it. We're going to get into in the next episode, which is organized very strangely. We're going to be jumping around a lot of shit.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Next episode, because we constantly switch between three different kind of scenes in that.
I will say, I'm like in the middle of this three-parter. As this was coming out and like airing, like I was just desperate for more. Like, this is, I think it's easy to level some like actual legitimate complaints against some of the plotting and some of the writing and things like that. But honestly, like, easily some of the best X-Men stuff we've seen in years. And I was like, just like at the time, absolutely agog. I just could not believe it was this good and this much fun to watch.
X-Men 97, you know, Will wrote the thing on the AV Club that was the best adaptation of the X-Men. And like, that's true, I think. It's just a thing where, there's a cliche that I say a lot, like the more you think about it, it gets the worse, but worse is almost too strong of a word. Like little cracks show if you think about it too much.
Yeah. And I think that can be said about like comic books, right? Like,
yeah.
And
oh, absolutely. Even more so because like they end up, the consequences go away. You know, like I'm reading like a bunch of 2000 stuff for nostalgia, like big kind of events and X-Men shit. And like things that were world changing consequences there are not even remembered now. Like the choices that they're making to tell an individual little story within this, within the medium of the X-Men, you know, that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
As a thing. It's not a long-term thing. It's not something that's supposed to necessarily stand the test of time forever. As a story, like you had to kind of pull the theme stuff out of it. Where X-Men 97 at the end of it, these last couple episodes start feeling a little bit weird, is that it felt like for the first 80% of the show that we were dealing with somewhat deeper themes or coming at them from a slightly more sophisticated angle than we're going to in the next episode and parts of this episode.
Yes.
You know, where like at the end of, you know, spoilers for the last episode, like we do get the non-combat ending of Bastion, which makes sense. Like that's a good thing. And that's thematically in line with stuff. Bastion becomes a ridiculous character in the next episode, like absolutely fucking ludicrous, dumb, supervillain twirling bullshit. Two characters say he's the future manifest.
Yes. Yeah.
It's, like there's fucking
real dumb,
man.
There's
like,
some real dumb language in this. Yeah.
Like Beast says that. And then later Nightcrawler repeats it without having heard it. Like they're all just kind of repeating this guy's tagline. Like it gets really rule of cool bigness.
Yeah.
I think in a way that's just not as interesting to me as like him playing these things against each other, you know, doing this, like having a personal feeling for revenge for being jilted as a child.
Yeah.
So still good. Still great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even good. Still fucking A+. Like, you know, still A, you know, many episodes in this A+. This one's like an A.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, the finale like is going to be good too. So I'm excited.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff. Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. What can they do?
Well, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, support the podcast network directly, get all sorts of exclusive podcasts, the ability to communicate with our community via Slack. You can personally tattoo Gary's buttocks. That's space is filling up fast, folks.
Free real estate.
If you need to get you need to get in there.
I have 6 tattoos, and right now my butt is just a bare canvas for your pen.
We've already got on the docket 17 different Milhouses, so you've got to get in there fast if you want to get your Milhouse on Gary's buttocks.
A lot of Milhouses. There's a Tesla logo that somebody decided to do. I'm going to try to contest that or cover it up with like a Pepsi logo.
Yeah, but it says better like Pepsi, than the Resla. So yeah, I think that's okay.
It's like, well, yeah, it's kind of cute, but also like, boy, that guy's bad. But you know, hey, Patreon. You know, what am I going to do?
What are you going to do about it? Can't say no once you're on Patreon. Thank you everybody for listening. The feedback, just because podcast time is weird, we just released the first episode, and having people knowing that we stayed on your radar and stayed in your subscription feeds was really nice. Thanks for sticking it out with us. We'll be back next week with more X-Men.
Take care.